President Obama announced his long-anticipated executive order on immigration in a televised address from the White House on November 20th. Undeterred by the Democrats' recent loss of the U.S. Senate in the midterm election, Mr. Obama offered temporary legal status to more than 4 million undocumented immigrants, along with an indefinite reprieve from deportation and the issuing of work permits. The response from the Republican Party was immediate and hostile, with GOP congressional leaders threatening to do everything possible to block Mr. Obama's initiative. A handful of conservative legislators talked about launching impeachment proceedings, while others openly discussed having the president arrested for violating the Constitution and predicted violence erupting across the country in response to the order. The president explained that he took executive action because of the House GOP leadership's ongoing refusal to hold a vote on comprehensive immigration reform legislation that had passed in the Senate with bipartisan support in June 2013. He asserted that it was important that he act unilaterally to prioritize the deportation of criminals and recent arrivals, while sparing those who have lived in the country without documentation for at least 5 years and have roots, including children who are U.S. citizens. Mr. Obama and his supporters maintain that there is a long history of presidents, both Democratic and Republican, issuing executive orders, exercising prosecutorial discretion, dating back to Republican President Dwight D. Eisenhower. Many grassroots pro-immigration groups across the country took credit for the president's executive order, pointing out the pressure they had applied in their years-long campaign that included protests and civil disobedience actions. Your reporter spoke with Daniel Altshuler, Long Island coordinator with the immigrant rights group Make the Road New York, who examines the scope and impact of President Obama's executive order, offering temporary legal status to millions of undocumented immigrants.
This is something with tremendous legal precedent, what the president has done. The president has the authority and the responsibility to enforce immigration laws and to also determine the priorities for how that's going to happen. And so this type of deferred action policy, these types of executive actions have been taken by Democratic and Republican presidents for decades. So this is something well within legal precedent, and we're very, we're excited, and members of the immigrant community that we work with are excited that the president has opted to take action as previous presidents have done before.
So when Republicans complain that President Obama is acting like a king or an emperor, acting outside the Constitution and the law, threats of impeachment and imprisonment and all that, based primarily on the fact that they say he's granted amnesty, do you take it as a deliberate misstatement of fact, given what we know about this executive order in black and white?
You know, it really is just political posturing. It is folks, particularly in the Republican leadership, who have failed to take action on this and frankly have, there was a Senate bill that included a path to citizenship for 11 million undocumented people, as well as other provisions to fix our broken immigration system that passed overwhelmingly in the Senate. Almost a year and a half ago. And since then, since the bill moved over to the Republican-controlled House of Representatives, it went absolutely nowhere. And despite having the votes to pass, a vote was never allowed to take place. So this is political posturing by the same folks who refused to take action on this critical issue. And we are, again, excited about what the president has done, and we believe it is it is a really important step forward. It is not a panacea. It is not the final solution. Ultimately, we do need Congress to still legislate on this matter because, the president acting alone is not able to grant citizenship to the millions of undocumented immigrants who live in this country. That is going to require an act of Congress.
What's the reaction among the immigrant community that you work with? Were they surprised by this? Was it expected? And what about the actual benefits that will accrue to many of the folks that are friends of yours and you work with daily?
Sure. I mean, I can speak to you about some of the activities we've undertaken with our members. We had watch parties both on Thursday night for the president's first address from the White House and then also from his speech in Las Vegas on Friday. And there was just tremendous energy in the room, and folks were very excited about the announcement. We had a lot of folks there who would directly benefit from the president's announcement and this new policy. And the reason for that excitement is, we have folks who for a very long time have lived in fear of being separated from their loved ones, something that no one should have to live with. And what this announcement, once it becomes implemented, once people are able to apply for this type of relief will mean is that folks are able to not live in fear of being separated from their children, are able to apply to have work authorization, to be able to apply for better jobs and earn a better living, and suffer less exploitation in the workplace. This really does mean a tremendous change in people's lives, and it really is historic, not just at the sort of national level, but in the granular details of how people are living their lives each day.
Daniel, when you look to the future, an ongoing effort by many pro-immigration groups who are seeking a permanent solution to the immigration crisis in the country, how is it that you're going to pursue a campaign to ensure that some of the relief given by this executive order is transformed into something more permanent and, most importantly, a path to citizenship?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, our organization and organizations like Make the Road New York around the country are committed to building a base within the community, that is to say, building membership-based organizations where immigrant New Yorkers, immigrant residents of Connecticut, immigrants from all over the country are able to speak for themselves and are able to articulate the needs of their community. And so, you know, this is an important step forward and an accomplishment for our movement. But what we also need to continue to do is use this as a movement building moment where our organizations are able to continue to build and thrive and grow to be able to take this fight into the next congressional session that begins next year and make sure that we're able to both defend what has been done against any of these potential spurious attacks that you mentioned earlier, and also continue to advocate for a broader solution in the months and years to come. And that's something that I think, you know, at the same time that we folks have been celebrating an accomplishment over the past week, they've also been rededicating themselves to the fight ahead.
That was Daniel Altshuler, Long Island coordinator with the immigrant rights group Make the Road New York. Find links to more discussion on the issue of comprehensive immigration reform by visiting our Between the Lines website at btlonline.org.